you would turn to Galatians chapter 5, we'll just to reiterate or just remind us of what it is that we're looking at here. And we are, of course, going through the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't think it's any coincidence that today we are going to be looking at long-suffering, starting off the new year with long-suffering. And so I'm going to just look at some of those things this morning. But looking at, we'll start at verse number 19, Galatians 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This morning we are going to be looking at long-suffering. That's where we've come to in our list of the fruit of the Spirit. And long-suffering is an interesting, very interesting word. It is found only 17 times in Scripture, in all of the Bible. And the times that we do see it in the Old Testament, we'll look at those in a few minutes, it only speaks of God. It doesn't speak of man being long-suffering. And a lot of times when we look at the word long-suffering, sometimes we like to replace it or think of it in the same context as patience. But it's not. It's very different from patience, and we're going to see that this morning. If you would, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We are going to look at a lot of scripture today. I would encourage you to turn there with us. If you can, at least write it down so you can go back and look at it later. But Colossians chapter 1, I want you to see something here. I want to start reading at verse number 10. It says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The reason that we know that patience and long-suffering are different is because in verse 11, he lists them specifically. We see the strengthened with all might according to his power and unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So if they're listed separately, if they're two separate words, there must be two separate meanings. I'm going to start with the meaning, the definition of the word patience, and then we'll look at the definition of the word long-suffering, and you'll see a very different definition here. Webster defines patience as this: the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil, with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from constitutional fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to the divine will. So it's something that we can, in ourselves, determine that, okay, we're just going to bear through it. We're just going to get through it. Listen to the definition of the word long-suffering: bearing injuries or provocation for a long time, even when you have the ability to change the circumstances, not easily provoked. Very different, isn't it? It's interesting that in the scriptures, when you look at the word patience, and the word patience is found, I think it's 32 times. Yep, 32 times in the scriptures. Not once is patience used to describe God, but long-suffering is. Not once is patience used to describe God. And I thought that was very interesting. In fact, I've been looking at these verses throughout the weekend and so forth. And last night, when I was going to bed last night, I was like, Lord, I just need something else to just bring this all together, just tie this all together. And this morning, probably I don't know, I want to say about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock this morning, I woke up and the Lord just impressed on my heart, look at those verses on patience again. So I got up at 7. I got up at 7. I have a preacher friend, he goes, when the Lord wakes you up, you got to get up, you got to do it. I'm like, man, I hit the snooze button too many times, you know. But I looked at all 32 of those verses again, and not once does it describe God. It talks about us having patience. It talks about God giving us patience. But when it talks about God, it's always the long-suffering. There's a great, great illustration of the long-suffering of God. If we turn to Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, I'll start reading in verse number 17. Romans 9:17. It says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Osse, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. The example we have here in Romans chapter 9 is Egypt and Pharaoh and the situation that was going on there. Now, the long-suffering of God, remembering that the definition of long-suffering is bearing injuries or provocation for a long time, even when you have the ability to change the circumstances, not easily provoked. The reason that we never see God described as patient is because God is never in a situation where he just has to endure. The all-powerful God has the ability to change what's going on if he wants to. But there's a plan and there's a purpose. So God allows things to continue that his glory may be seen, that his power may be seen. He allowed Pharaoh to go as he did. He allowed Egypt to do the things that it did so that in the end he could show his power in delivering his people and bringing them out of Egypt. There was a purpose in that. Could he have wiped out Egypt? Could he have wiped out Pharaoh? Of course. But he didn't. He was long-suffering. He let it continue until the appointed time, and then he raised up Moses, and then he delivered his people and got them out of there. And so there's a great difference here. And that's why in the fruit of the Spirit, it's a fruit of the Spirit to have long-suffering, not patience. Because There are patient people that are not saved people. There are people that just kind of roll with the punches and nothing really seems to upset them or whatever. But what if you had to be long-suffering or forbearing and you actually had the opportunity or you had the ability to change the circumstance, but it might not necessarily be for the good? Let me give you an example. So you're at church and you're going to church. And you love your church, and you love being in your church, and you love serving in your church. And then all of a sudden, a new family shows up. And maybe they've got some different thoughts, some different things. Maybe they just have a personality that just doesn't really mesh with you. So now you find yourself in the same body, meaning the same location, the same place to serve. But that person just has a knack to just rub you the wrong way. Anybody ever? Don't raise a hand. let's not even. But let's be honest. Have we at some point in our time not known somebody like that in our church that we just didn't mesh? Now, you have the ability to lay them out, drive them off. You yourself could leave. But you know that this is where God wants you. You know this is where God wants you to serve. So you forbear. You're long-suffering. You love. You show the fruit of the Spirit for the good of the body, for the work of the Lord. Long-suffering. It happens, but it happens as a result of the Spirit in us and working in us, living in us. You know, there's only two times in Scripture where the word long-suffering was translated patience. The first is in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. It says this, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The other place is in James 5:10, where it says, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. In both of these places, it's talking about those that are serving the Lord, enduring some hardship, but still continuing to serve the Lord. Could they have gotten out of that hardship by just stopping serving the Lord? They could have, but they weren't going to. Remember the apostles when they were beaten for preaching the word of God? And they were told, they beat them and sent them out and said, do not preach the word of God anymore. They had a choice to make at that moment. We can go home and we can be quiet and we can be left alone and we can, and that's it. But I believe it was Peter that said, should we obey God or should we obey man? And they went out and they continued to preach. And they were persecuted and they were thrown in prison and all these things happened. They were bearing injuries or provocation for a long time because of what God had called them to do. They could have stopped, but they didn't. They kept going. They showed forth long suffering. They were willing to endure those grievances, so to speak, to continue the work of the Lord, to continue to share that gospel message, to continue to bring that forth. Whatever it meant for them, they were long suffering. They forbeared. They continued on with the work the Lord had for them. I want to share with you just some more verses that have to do with long suffering. And just kind of give us a good picture of what it means to be long-suffering and how to be long-suffering. The word long-suffering, as I said, is found 17 times in the Bible. Four of those verses are in the Old Testament. We find them in Exodus 34, Numbers 14, Psalms 86, and Jeremiah 15. All of them are talking about the Lord being long-suffering. In Numbers chapter 14, if you'll turn over there with me, this I'm sure is going to be very familiar to you as we look at it. In Numbers chapter 14, start reading in verse number 17. Numbers 14, verse 17. Let me change that. Let's start reading in verse 15. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, wherefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from me, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. This is Moses pleading for the Israelites as they've come out and they're in the wilderness and they're murmuring and they're complaining against God, and God has had it. He says, I'm gonna take care of them. I'm gonna kill them. And Moses pleads on their behalf. And it's interesting that he says in verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and the fourth generation. You know, when we stop and think that, you know, we see this going on sometimes in our own day and age, and we think, how can God allow this to keep going on? How come God isn't doing something? How come he's not stepping in? Well, we can answer that with one word, long-suffering. It's his long-suffering. He could have wiped out the people of the Israelite people. He could have done that. And Moses pleads on their behalf. And of course, we know that God does not do it. However, there were a number of them that were causing trouble that God dealt with in the moment in the wilderness. And, you know, it's not that God is going to forget. It's not that God is not going to deal with that. But he may not be dealing with it necessarily in the way that we might think, or the way that that we think that he should. Just a great example of God's long-suffering here in Numbers 14. The first time that we find long-suffering in the New Testament is in Romans chapter 2. If you want to turn over there with me, Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 1, go down to verse number 11. So Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. You know, here in Romans chapter 2, as he's talking about the long-suffering of God, you know, there are those, we would look at it and look at those people that are judging and that are doing things that are wicked, that are judging, and yet they're doing the same things and things like that. And we think, man, why would God allow such things? Well, it tells us right here in these verses that God's paying attention to that. He knows what's going on. He'll deal with it. But through his long suffering, there are still those that are being saved. There are still those that are coming to know the Lord. You know, and we'll get to the long suffering verse that probably many of you are already thinking about, where God is not slack concerning his promises. You know, we'll get to that verse in just a few minutes here. But the thing to think about, you know, and we think about this even in our day, as I said earlier, you know, how much longer is God going to let these things happening? You know, the abortion rate, the same-sex marriage, the transgender things that are going on and being pushed upon our children and things like that. Now, the scripture is very clear. We know that we're not to do anything to harm children, that we're not to do anything to cause them distress or you know, lead them down a wrong road or something like that. And we know what God says about those things. And we think, you know, how long is God going to allow this to happen? Well, you know, I know for myself, I'm looking forward to heaven. I really am. And I know the older I get, the more I look forward to it. But think back with me, if you would, to when you were 20. You know, now, if you were saved when you were 20, you knew you were going to heaven, but were you in a rush to get there? Did you want to accomplish some things? You know, I remember my folks having that conversation and me going, I don't know. You know I'm going to heaven, but I don't really want to. It doesn't have to be right now, you know. Well, now in our home, we're having those conversations, you know. Becky and I will be talking about things, and Emily's like, well, there's still some things I'd like to experience here and enjoy here, you know, first and whatnot. And it's just funny how as you get older, the more you look forward to that. And, you know, as saved people, we look forward to the coming of the Lord. And we say, you know, Lord, how long are you going to endure? How long are you going to let these things keep happening? But, you know, we need to, through long suffering, through forbearance and stuff, we need to think about it from God's point of view in the fact that there's still people getting saved. It ain't over yet, you know? So, yeah, the world is doing what the world is doing and some terrible things are taking place, but there's still people that are getting saved. There are still people that are giving their lives to the Lord. And, you know, that's such a great thing, and we need to think about that. And we also need to think about this, that God's got a plan. His plan is perfect, and we just got to trust it. We just got to trust it. We may not understand exactly all the things that God's allowing or putting up with and things like that. We may not know it. I don't know about you, but I know that I can say this for me. I'm glad that God doesn't deal with people the way that I would deal with people. I'm glad that God didn't deal with me the way I would have dealt with me. You know what I mean? I think every one of us can say praise God for his long suffering in the fact that he did forbear and take the time with us that he did. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy. This is Paul's testimony of God's long suffering. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'll start reading in verse number 12. 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 12. It says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Verse 17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." You know, look at what he said here in verse number 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been talking with somebody about the Lord and given them the gospel and them going, "Oh, but you just don't know how bad I've been. You just don't know what terrible things I've done in my life." Was it as bad as Paul? Were you killing people that were believing in Christ? Were you going out with letters from the government to grab up the Christians and throw them into prison and see them persecuted? Did you stand by and be a part of the stoning of some of God's children? No. Well, God saved that person. He can save you. An example of the long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The long suffering of God. If you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, let's look at just a few more places where we find the word long suffering. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 18. This is 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it's talking about the long-suffering of God in the days of Noah. Think about that. As you have your servant who is faithfully building this ark, and he is being ridiculed, and he is being mocked, and nobody is coming to help him, just him and his sons, their families, and they're working on this. And that ark was not built in a weekend. It took many, 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 many years to build that ark. And all that time, all those things that were being said, all those things that were being done against Noah, could God have just said, all right, forget it. I'm going to miraculously just lift Noah up and his family, and I'm wiping out the whole thing. Or did he just, through long suffering, let it continue, to the point that one day that ark was done, the animals were brought in, the Lord shut the door, and the rains fell. And you know, we could not possibly imagine what it was like to be inside the ark, hearing everybody outside the ark. They had all those years to make that decision. They had all those years to make that choice. And then the day came when the door was shut, and they couldn't make that choice anymore. There's going to come a day when the door is going to shut. We're going to be taken to heaven. And then eternity. You know, the tribulation is going to take place and all those things. You know, we know all those things that are going to happen here on earth. But the long-suffering of God, how he allows certain things that in our eyes may seem so terrible, but just giving people just another chance, another opportunity. Because as we saw in Romans chapter 2, when they stand before God, they will do so without excuse. He's going to be able to say, remember this, remember that, remember this time. I gave you all these opportunities. If you would turn over to 2 Peter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. This is the verse that I was talking about earlier. This is a verse that's probably familiar. Maybe every one of us in here could quote this verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish. You know, there's joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner comes to the Lord. God wants to see people saved. God has done everything for people to get saved. They just got to accept. They got to receive that free gift. When we stop and think, or when we maybe get a little critical, and maybe say, God, how much longer are you going to endure? How much longer are you going to put up with this? Let's just remember that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there will come a day. There will come a day when it'll all be over. 2 Peter chapter 3, the last time that we find the word long-suffering in Scripture is in verse number 15. For context, I'm going to start reading in 14. 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Verse 15 says, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. So what do we do while the Lord is still waiting, while the Lord is still long-suffering? Well, the Lord hasn't just said, that's it, and called us home. We've got another day here, another week here, another month here, whatever it might be. What do? We do verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know what we do? We just keep on keeping on. Just keep on being faithful. We keep on serving the Lord. We trust his plan. And we look forward to that place that he's gone to prepare for us. And one day he will come again and take us home to be with him. And until that day comes, we just keep growing. We just keep getting closer to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the definitions and the examples that you give us out of your word. Father, help us through the Spirit, through your Spirit, Lord, to be long-suffering. We may have the ability to change a circumstance, but it may not be right to do so. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, to your word, to your plan, what you would have for us. Lord, as we get ready here, the first day of 2023, boy, so much has happened. So much has happened. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those folks that are still getting saved. Folks right now that you're still working in their heart. Lord, every one of us has a loved one, a friend, a family member that's not saved. And Lord, we thank you for the long suffering that you've shown towards them. Please, keep working in their heart. Pray, Lord, that they would come to know you as Savior. Thank you for all the opportunities that you give. Lord, help us to be mindful of those opportunities as we go about our life. Help us to take the opportunities that you place before us, to be the witness that you would want us to be. Father, thank you so much for salvation, for the Lord Jesus. His willingness to come and to die on the cross, to take our sin upon him, to pay sin's debt, to be buried, rise again the third day. Oh, Lord, it's going to be glorious one day to be in your presence. Father, till we get there, help us to keep being faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.